I want to throw in here about that faith and believing that God can heal. It was 21 years ago in May, the day after Mother's Day, that Joe was first diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. We did not do one thing except trust God, pray. We changed our eating habits quite a bit.
Wisdom.
Yes, wisdom. That's right. We did. We prayed for healing. We prayed for wisdom, direction on what we needed to do. But he did not go have treatments of any sort. On the ninth year, when the doctor said, you know, if you haven't had this radiated or cut out, you still have cancer. Joe's like, I don't think I do. They did biopsies. It was just as aggressive as it had been 9 years before that. But it had never moved. Mm. That is God. That is God, totally. Mm-hmm. Now, many of you know the story now. He was diagnosed again in August with prostate cancer that had gotten in his lower abdomen. And the doctors basically sent us home from the hospital with no hope but God. But God and prayer and believing that God was going to heal him. And if you see him out and about, other than having oxygen on, you would not believe that he has anything wrong with him.
Yep.
And the last CT scans we did, the tumors had reduced. The cancer in his bones was not as great. And I would just have to say, but God, you know, God is in the healing business. And I remember when he first got cancer years ago, and I was like, Lord, you know, he was so discouraged. He was just 62 years old, and he was so discouraged. And I said, Lord, he won't even pray. He's so discouraged, he's not even praying. And the Lord reminded me of the story of Jairus' little daughter. Yeah. She didn't pray. Other people prayed. She was dead, supposedly. Other people prayed. And I was like, thank you, Lord. We'll just stand in the gap until he gets his healing.
Keep trusting God.
That's right. That's right.
Unshakable.
Unshakable. Okay. We do have a couple of prayer requests. This first one is for the family of Leonard Gonzalez, who's gone to his final resting place this past week. And then we want to pray for Billy and Debbie Mabra, who have both been diagnosed with cancer. Not only are they overwhelmed with the report, but the experience of the expense of the treatments and the traveling to the doctor. And we're going to just believe that God's going to touch them and heal them.
I have a prayer request also. There was a family in Clinton yesterday morning whose trailer exploded. The man woke up, smelled propane, and turned on the light switch, and then the trailer home exploded. The woman, he is gone, and the woman is severely burned, and that's all I know. It was Michelle Sassy's neighbor. That's Kaylin's mother.
Okay. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, certainly these prayer requests remind us of the uncertainty of circumstances in life. But Father, as I've reminded myself and others many, many times, none of these things surprise you. It doesn't mean that you're the source of these things, Father. We know that you are not the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, we never saw Jesus make anyone sick. We saw Jesus heal. We saw Jesus provide. We saw Jesus redeem and rescue. So, Lord, we look to you today, and we believe you are the redeemer, and you are the rescuer, you are the provider, you are the healer, you are the source of comfort. Father, for the family of Leonard Gonzalez, Lord God, we just rejoice with them for the certainty of the promise of heaven. Father, we know that we can be greatly encouraged even in those situations because of the certainty of heaven, and so we thank you for that. For those who are still on this earth and still breathing, Father, we know that it's never too late for you, Lord God, to lay your hand of healing and mercy upon them. We appeal to heaven this morning. We appeal to you, Heavenly Father, that your grace, your anointing would flow to them wherever they are. And Father, for this couple that just, they need your healing. They need your provision. I think probably, Lord, most importantly, they just need to hear that rhema word directly from you that they can literally attach their faith to, because faith does come by hearing from you. So we're asking you to speak to them, speak to Billy, speak to Debbie, together and separately as individuals. And Father, for this family who's had an explosion, this terrible tragedy in their home, Father, not only is this woman trying to recover from her own injuries, but also knowing that Lord God, her circumstance has changed and that her husband has passed. And we just speak peace over that, Father. It's a very troubling thing. But we pray, Lord, that an unshakable faith take hold of her and of those close to her, Lord God, that this would be a time where you reveal your mercy and grace to them and through them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre, they are one of our sponsors. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. And then Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And then our sponsor for today, Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Bordice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Unshakable. Back to you, sir.
Unshakable. That's what we need to be. Yes. In our trust. You know, the life, the world's going to shake. Mm-hmm. Your world is going to shake. Sometimes we're going to get, our world's going to get rocked big time. But even in the middle of all that, we can remain concerning our trust in God. We can remain unshakable. But it's not going to happen by accident. And it's not going to happen, to be honest with you, without preparation. You need to prepare yourself today. You say, well, my life's good today. I mean, I don't have anything really going on. That's wonderful. Rejoice. Praise God. But you need to be preparing yourself, because I'm going to tell you this straight up. Something's coming. And I'm not saying that to be ugly or to be try to provoke fear in you, because we're not going to be afraid. We know something. I mean, life ain't perfect. You know, we live in this earth. We live in this world. Things are going to happen. News is going to come that you didn't really want to come. It's going to happen. We need to have a faith that when something happens that we didn't expect, that we shake ourselves just a little bit and go, you know what? This is all right. It's all right. I know that here's what you need to come up out of you. Things like this. You know, I know this. I hate this. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I know that in all things, God is working together for my good, because I love the Lord and He called me according to His purpose. That's Romans 8:28. You see, I know God is for me and not against me. He who gave His own Son, how will He not also freely give me all things? God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. God kind of like, you need the word to be able to come up out of you. But listen, if you ain't putting it in, it ain't going to come out. Whatever you've been putting in is what's going to come out. And Eva's over, she's sipping out of her cup. I assume there's coffee in there. But for all I know, there could be Kool-Aid in there. But I guarantee you this, the only thing that's coming out of that cup is whatever got put in it. If she put Kool-Aid in there and she thinks she's going to drink coffee, she just, yeah, whatever. Because you're going to get out what you put in. Nothing more, nothing less. You're going to come upon a situation in your life, either where you personally or someone close to you, or even maybe someone's not real close to you, but you hear about their situation. They need, you need your faith. You know, you need your faith. The Bible talks about observing an ant. It goes, observe the ant in Proverbs. It goes, hey, sluggard. That means lazy one. Slacker. He goes, yeah. Observe the ant. In other words, watch the ants. And he goes, who's their boss? And they don't really have one. No, they don't. But yet they go around, and when the weather's good and the opportunity's there, they store up food and they carry it into their little ant den so that when the weather's not good, they still got provision. And he goes, you need to be like that. And here's what we need to store up. We don't need to store up baby formula because there's a shortage. If they tell you there's a shortage, it's because they created it.
Come on.
That's the deal. If you need something today, if you have a baby, you know somebody who has a baby and they need formula, I guarantee you this, you pray, you seek God about it. If you don't have it in your hands, he'll show you where to get it. He will provide for you. You don't need to be afraid of any man-made shortages. All else fails. If you have a baby, you ain't got no formula, contact somebody in South Texas. They got it stockpiled at the border to give it to all them people coming over here illegally. That's where it went. Believe it or don't believe it, but I'm telling you, we don't have to be worried about that. We don't have to be afraid about that. Doesn't hurt to get a little upset and sick the Lord on them, but we don't need to live in fear over it. Well, here's a guy in Mark chapter 5 who happens to be a ruler of a synagogue whose little daughter's lying at home at the point of death when he comes to Jesus. And Jesus is headed his way. He's like, hey, everything's looking up. Jesus is coming. He's going to heal my daughter. And then this woman gets involved, and she's got to get her healing and slows the process down and all that. And all of a sudden they come, go, hey, too late. Too late. Sorry. Your little daughter, she's gone, man. Don't bother the master. Don't bother the rabbi anymore. Just, it's over. Jesus ignores what they say, looks at the man, says, stop the fear and choose to believe. Amen. And then they went on about their way. Says then, watch this. Now Jesus is standing, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not wrong, so don't get on the bandwagon to correct me, but he's in a crowd full of people. Jairus comes, please heal my daughter. So he goes, and the crowd starts following. And here comes the woman with the issue of blood. She's following. And then there's so many people thronging around Jesus. When she touches him, he says, who touched me? The disciples goes, what do you mean? Who touched you? Golly, this crowd, everybody touched it. He's still standing in a multitude of people in a crowd. Okay, watch this. They come, hey, your little daughter's dead, Jairus, don't bother the master. Jesus says, ignoring what they said, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. And then it says this, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And of course, Jairus. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, now who did Jesus bring with him? He didn't even bring all of his own disciples. He just brought three of them. Everybody else, y'all stay here. Why? I don't need what you bring to the party. I've been to a party like that where we were attempting to have faith, and there's a whole lot of people not having faith. And it's just almost impossible for faith to work. Even in Jesus' own ministry, when he went to his hometown, and it says there they took offense at him because they remembered, yeah, he's a carpenter's son. No. It says he could do there no mighty works. Why? Because of their unbelief. Let me tell you something powerful here. You don't need 1,000 people to agree with you to get a miracle from God. You may not need anyone. If you agree with the Word of God, you and God are two. If any two or more agree on this earth as touching the thing that they ask, God says it'll be done. Don't go looking. Listen, when you've got something really serious and you're facing something serious, don't just announce it to everybody, because you'll get like Neva. You know, when Joe got his diagnosis, there were people giving you all kind of sympathy. You know, probably I was surprised they wouldn't be asking, "Do you need help with funeral expenses?" You know, like, hang on a minute. Let's go bury him. Come on. He wouldn't like that. He got to get ready for Christmas in July, you know. And there are people, even though they may have good intentions, they don't have faith. And you don't need that. You don't need to be around people who are so busy shaking that they don't know what's going on, and you're going to stand there and be unshakable? I don't think so. You've got to separate yourself to people who will believe what God says. So sometimes you need to be very selective with your prayer requests. You don't want just everybody using their quote faith, because their quote faith ain't faith at all. They'll be like, say, you're believing God for healing, they're believing God for you to get the money for the funeral. Come on. I don't need your prayers. If that's the way you're going to pray, I'm pretty private about it. I don't share much with other people. I don't need to. I've got Jesus. And then I've got a close circle of people that I will share things with. I'm not going to announce it to the whole wide world, because, be honest, the majority of them ain't got faith anyway. There we go. Yeah. Come off my soapbox now. Jesus ignored what the naysayer said, but he didn't let everybody follow him. Only the select Peter, James, John, and then they come to the ruler. Watch this. The ruler of the synagogue's house, they come there. My Bible right here, underlined red, says, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. That's a whole lot of emotion going on in that room. Isn't there? He went in and he said to them, why all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. Now, how many of you have believe that these people are, I mean, they may not be rocket scientists, but they can figure out when somebody's dead, you know? What was there? I believe Jesus was doing exactly what Romans 4:17 says. Romans 4:17 says, God calls things that are not as though they were, and he gives life to the dead. You can go read that for yourself. Romans, the fourth chapter. It's all about how Abraham, even though he was really old and he couldn't have kids, even when he was really young, God said to him, I have made you father of many nations. God calls things. I'm calling you father of many nations. Even though you and your wife never had kids and now you're about 100 years old, I'm calling you father of many nations. When God calls it, it comes. Well, Jesus said, this little girl's not dead. She's asleep. Why would he say it that way? Because from God's perspective, that was exactly what was going on. But what was their big faith response there? They laughed at him. So what'd he do? After he had put them all out, there you go. I don't need everybody and their dog to approve of what I'm believing God for. If I can find it in the Word and it's promised in the Word, I can stand in faith if no one else stands with me. But I can probably find maybe one or two or three, Jesus got three, that are standing with him. And they go in there and the people are wailing and crying and having a funeral, you know, pre-funeral. How could God do this? Why did God take her? You know, it's like, Jesus goes, why are you wailing and crying? They go, she's dead. He goes, she's not dead, she's asleep. I'm speaking faith words here. She is asleep, not dead. And if she's asleep, I can wake her up. Yeah. Right? That's the difference. You remember when Jesus' friend in John chapter 11, the Bible says that Jesus loved his family, Mary, Martha, and her brother Lazarus, and Lazarus became sick, and they sent word, Jesus, come and heal your friend Lazarus, whom you love. He goes, all right. But he stayed where he was for 2 days. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told him to. And then after 2 days, he told his disciples, he goes, Lazarus is asleep, but we're going to go wake him up. And they go, oh, well, if he's sleeping, he'll be getting better. And Jesus goes, I tell you plainly, he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad. I'm like, that sounds a little insensitive. He goes, because in essence, you need to understand that there's no situation that God hasn't got the answer for.
Amen.
You know, so I know God is my provider for $100. Well, what are you going to do when you need 1,000? Your faith's got to grow. Your faith's got to keep growing and keep stretching. Realize that it's just as easy for God to heal you from the hiccups as it is cancer. Or cancer versus the hiccups. It's all the same. It doesn't matter. Symptoms are certainly different, aren't they? Your mind certainly doesn't see it that way. But listen, we're not supposed to operate in our mind. We're supposed to operate by faith. Be unshakable. Your mind will shake like crazy. But if you operate by faith and you just say, well, God said this, period, end of discussion. I refuse to speak different than that. I refuse to act different than that. I'm going to just, like a bulldog on a bone, I'm hanging on to the things of God. And that's kind of how Jesus demonstrated it. He said, she's asleep. They laughed at him. If you speak faith to unfaithful people, all you're going to get is ridicule. So maybe you just need to keep your believing between you and those people of faith that will join you. He put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples that were with him. So there are 5 people went in the room. That's all. And he took her by the hand and he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, or being interpreted, little girl, I say get up. He spoke to her. He didn't kneel down. Listen to this carefully. He did not kneel down over her and beg Father God to raise her from the dead. He'd already gotten the word from the Father before he walked into the room. He went in there just to wake her up with the words that the Holy Spirit gave him. Here's a big, huge, huge, huge key to your faith working. Mine too. Get intimate with the Lord when you have a situation and find out what he has to say about it. And then you say what he says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't try to interpret it. If God said whatever it was he said, you just say what he says. Jesus said, here's what Jesus said, Talitha kum. You see, what language is that? I don't know. But I know this, Jesus spoke Aramaic. He spoke Hebrew. And every time he spoke Aramaic and Hebrew, they translated it into English in our Bible. But they didn't translate that. I wonder why. Maybe it wasn't Aramaic. Maybe it wasn't Hebrew. I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe he spoke out of his spirit. His interpreted, little girl, I say, get up. And immediately she stood up. Immediately she stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. Isn't that interesting, the coincidence that she's 12 years old and the woman with the issue of blood had it for how long? 12 years. And if you study things in biblical numerology, 12 is a number of completion. Jesus didn't choose 11 disciples, and he didn't choose 13. He chose 12. How many tribes were there in Israel? 12. You know, it's a pretty prevalent number. Immediately she stood up, walked around, she's 12, and the people were, and they were completely astonished. I bet Jesus wasn't astonished. I bet he got exactly what he expected. And he gave them strict orders not to tell anyone, not to let anyone know about this. And he told them, give her something to eat. She's hungry. She's been laying there for days now, hadn't eaten in days, man. Feed her. She good. They're probably like, well, she needs to come back on food slowly. She needs to run around. Like, no, she don't. She just needs to eat. You know? Hallelujah. I believe that very shortly I'm going to be able to share testimony with you about my grandson's healing in his foot that appeared to be broken. Because he was trying to slam dunk basketball on low goal, and he landed on the street, in the street, you know, street basketball goal. He landed on the curb. Pew! Oh, he hit the ground. And he's a tough kid, Tyler. And then he couldn't walk on. He couldn't feel nothing in it. He wasn't having it kind of went numb on him, whatever. He goes to the doctor, and then they send him to a specialist, and their x-ray, and they, well, we can't see that it's broken, but it's just a severe sprain. And then they put him on crutches for, I don't know, 2 weeks, and then he goes back, and they got more x-rays. Like, well, don't understand why this thing's not changing. It's not changing. We're going to put him in a boot. They put him in a boot. He's in the boot. He comes to church Sunday. Monica, you'll be blessed by this. He comes to church Sunday. The Holy Spirit's moving. People, word of knowledge, someone's arm gets healed by through word of knowledge and laying on of hands, and then other people began to respond. Another word of knowledge comes forth. Two women responded, one of them being Monica, about her jaw, and the Holy Spirit led me to have them lay hands on each other, and within 5 seconds, they didn't hardly get to pray. I said, that's it, stop right there, and they were both healed. And my grandson's sitting back there, and he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, you know, he said, the Lord spoke to me and told me that healing broken bones is no different than healing arms or jaws.
Amen.
And he agreed with it. And he said he felt it. He went home. Now, his last doctor's visit, he had gone. They said he don't have any. His arch is completely gone out of his foot for whatever reason, whether it's the tendons broke down or whatever's going on. They couldn't see any breaks, but he had no arch in his foot, and it was numb. He goes home and takes that boot off, and he's got arch in his foot. And he takes off walking, whatever. Last night at church at Bible study, he really wasn't supposed to do this because his mom told him, you put that boot back on, and we'll go to the doctor, and when the doctor confirms it, then, you know, whatever. She's trying to be a good mom, I understand. But he took his boot off last night. She wasn't there. He took his boot off last night and ran down the stairs of the church and back up. And then he goes, doctor's going to confirm my healing. And then he put his boot back on. He honor his father and mother.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to hearing the report from the doctor. It's like, yeah, we don't know how this happened, but well, nevertheless, you're good, you know. Because he walked on it with no pain whatsoever. He literally ran down the stairs out of the sanctuary and back up.
Amen.
You know. Here's a little something for you. When you believe something, try acting like you believe it. You know, we sing songs in church like, here's one for you. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. People were singing that from their living room because they were afraid to go to church because of COVID. Something's wrong with that picture. Or they were going to church and they were singing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. And then they wouldn't go to Walmart to get their groceries because they were afraid of COVID or whatever. I don't fly. Why won't you fly? Oh, man, I'm afraid of flying. I know people that wouldn't go on a cruise because they were afraid of, you know, the water, drown, whatever. It's like, we can't be controlled by fear. We cannot allow ourselves to be controlled by fear. We've got to be unshakable. Let me finish up with this verse, Psalms 112. I stayed there in that chapter. I got a whole lot of notes over here, but I never went to. But we'll get to them someday. But let me finish this with Psalms 112 and just looking at verse 7 and 8. That's about in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 112, 7 and 8. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He'll have no fear. In the end, he'll look in triumph on his foes. He'll have no fear. He'll have no fear. No fear of bad news. His heart steadfast, trusting the Lord, unshakable. Who is it that this, these two verses in Psalms, what person is this talking about? In other words, this is a great promise about having no fear, but what's the qualifier for this promise? It's verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears or reveres, honors the Lord, and finds great delight in his commands or in his word. There's the key. You find great delight in the word of the Lord. Now, it goes on, lists a whole bunch of blessings between that first, that second verse there and the seventh verse. But I focused on the seventh verse because of our subject today. It says, you know what? He'll have no fear of bad news. When bad news comes, and it will come, there are going to be things coming to your life that you're not going to like. You don't have to get shook up over it. Why not? Because I'm steadfast trusting in the Lord. But listen, the time to build up your faith is not in the middle of the crisis. It's great to go maintain your faith in the middle of the crisis. But the best time to build your faith is before the crisis comes. You know, if you needed a tornado shelter, the best time to build one is not while the sirens are blowing. And I have a tornado shelter. I do. I really do. My tornado shelter is found right here in the middle of this book. It's called Psalms 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then you go down a few more verses and he goes, no calamity shall come near your dwelling place. I said, yes, amen. I use that. We use that as a weapon against fear related to storms or any other kind of calamity. Take this word of God and use it. Speak it at the situation. And be steadfast. Ask yourself this question sometimes when you catch yourself worrying. Which one's greater, this thing or God? Just stop. Sometimes you just need to stop and remind yourself. What's greater, this thing or God? And the answer will always be God. But sometimes we just lose sight of that. And we need to refocus so we can be unshakable.
I've thrown this 2 cents worth in before, but I'm going to say it again because I think there's somebody out there listening today that needs to hear this. When Joe was diagnosed this last summer with stage 4 cancer, one of the family members said to me, you're just not taking this seriously. And that came to me because I wasn't wringing my hands and crying and carrying on because I trusted the Lord with it, and that's what I told her. I know God's got this. And when you know that you know that you know that you know that God has this, and if you're in the Word and if you're a believer, you should know that. Pastor Dwight's preached it here a number of times. It's in the Word. Get in there and get that knowledge in you and quit walking in fear. Quit wringing your hands of every little issue that comes along, especially the news of cancer, because right. God's got this.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I want to share something. So me and Norma, a good friend of mine, we was eating at the Mexican restaurant in town in Burns Flat. And we were just, you know, lifting each other up, encouraging each other. We're both widowed. And I took her home to drop her off. And there was clouds. Mm-hmm. And whenever I dropped her off, it began to rain as we're heading there. And then when I pulled up, I started hearing tink, 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 dink, dink. And I don't...
Those little hailstones, huh?
The only way I can describe it is this, like, anger rose up, and I put my finger up, and I said, no. No, you're not going to damage the gift my God gave to me. My God brought me this vehicle, and you are not going to damage it. In the name of Jesus, you're going to stop right now.
Amen.
And it did.
And it did.
And I got all the way home to my house in Deal City, got backed up into my garage, and Norma said, now see what you did?
Yeah. And see, the difference was you weren't trying to be religious and impress somebody. Mm. You were actually speaking something up out of you that you believed. Mm-hmm. And Mark 11 says, if you believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, you will have it. Now, you can say, I don't believe in that. Well, then you're saying, in essence, I don't believe the Bible. And I don't think that's a position you want to be in. Go read it. Keep reading it. See what you come up with.
My first, it was... I can explain it like this. It was like fear tried to come in. Mm-hmm. And then it made me angry because I was like, you know, that's my car.
Yep.
I'm still paying for it. To me, that's a gift that my Lord blessed me with.
Yep.
And whenever fear come at me over my vehicle, it was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yep. Yep, and that's what we've got to do, take our stand and be unshakable in our faith. Amen.
God is so good. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.